It's Monday, August 15th, and this is VOA's International Edition. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Coming up, Thailand says it knows who is behind a string of deadly bombings. Missing Nigerian girls appear to be shown in a new Boko Haram video.
He was hit by two bullets, one in the chest, one in the arm. That individual, it's a 23-year-old man, has died.
Another police shooting sparks unrest in a major U.S. city. Also ahead, some Olympians deal with unusual water in Rio. And country music honors Lady Antebellum. It's all on today's International Edition. Thai police say they know who was behind a recent series of deadly bombings and that at least one man has been detained for questioning. A deputy national police spokesman told reporters Sunday in Bangkok an investigation is progressing. He declined to give details. Thai officials have been searching for those responsible for 11 small bomb attacks that killed four people and wounded dozens of others in several key tourist towns late Thursday and early Friday. The bombings took place on the 84th birthday of Thailand's queen, a national holiday, with one of the blasts in the beach resort town of Hua Hin, where the king and queen have a palace. 59-year-old Danish tour guide Niels Seberg, who has lived in the Hua Hin area for 10 years, says he's never experienced anything like this before. Seberg said he and his friends were at a venue where a live band was playing.
Suddenly there's a big blast, a big blast. I can feel it on my eardrums. I can feel it's powerful. And everyone, they sort of freeze, and the music stops. Everything freezes. And I know it must be bad because I saw the other explosion. Now I know it must be something. There's something bad going on here, which makes me quite scared.
Soon the bar filled with panicked people running from the blast site, and Seberg saw some smeared in blood.
About 70 yards down the street, I can see people lying down. I can see rescue workers, flashing lights, commotion. There's a lot of commotion. People are running around, and I can see bodies lying lifeless there. We decide we have to get away from the place, but that we don't know what's going on. Maybe there will be more bombs, so we have to pass this place where the bomb went off just before to get out of the area. We walk down there, and I can see it's bad. I cannot see if they're dead or not, these people. I can see blood everywhere. People are trying to get away.
Police have said they do not suspect international Islamic militant groups behind the attacks, instead calling them acts of sabotage likely carried out by a local group with a political agenda. Some officials have blamed elements in Thailand's Muslim insurgency in the country's deep south, but no group has claimed responsibility. It's time now for our social media segment. International Edition's G. Abby Lee joins me here in the studio with what's trending online. Hi, G.
Hi, Jim. This weekend, people online were talking nonstop about a hacking attack. A hacker who goes by the name Guccifer 2.0 posted personal information of just about every House Democrat on the internet. The information includes the officials' email addresses and mobile numbers. The website used for releasing the information is WordPress, and it announced the contents are blocked as of Saturday.
Well, House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi sent out a warning letter to her colleagues. Tell us a little about that.
Sure. After contact information was posted online, she reportedly received what she calls obscene and sick calls and text messages. She advised her colleagues to take precaution when answering phone calls and added she is changing her mobile number.
And what's the public's reaction like?
The top comment to Gizmodo's post on Facebook reads like this: considering the spying they do on us, I couldn't possibly care less. I had to rephrase that because there was a little vulgar word in it. Mm-hmm. The commenter may be referring to the monitoring activity by the National Security Agency.
Wow, a lot going on there. Mm-hmm. What else happens to be trending on social media today?
Jim, if you're upset about the hacking story, this might help offset the negative feelings. A cat in Pennsylvania named Batman got adopted from an animal shelter. So, okay, that happens every single day, and it should, but this story is a little bit more special because the 3-year-old feline has 4 ears due to rare genetic mutation. He was adopted from the Western Pennsylvania Humane Society within hours of the organization posting about him on its Facebook. The best part is that the little girl who adopted him loves superheroes. That's all for me today. Back to you.
I guess he's got super hearing with four ears. Thanks for
that
wrap-up.
It's a Batman.
Yes, thanks for the wrap-up, G. You may tweet us your comments and questions to our Twitter stream, at @VOA_IE. You'll find myself and G also on Twitter, at VOA Stevenson and at G Abby Lee. Among the top stories that are trending in Asia, U.S. drone strike kills an Islamic State leader in Afghanistan. Afghanistan's long-simmering political tensions go public. Pakistani helicopter crew returns home after crash in Afghanistan. Pakistan to deport blacklisted American. Business groups appeal to China over cybersecurity law. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and much more at the voanews.com website and also via our VOA mobile app. This is International Edition. VOA's International Edition continues. Nigeria's government says it is reaching out to Boko Haram after a new video surfaced on Sunday showing as many as 50 of the kidnapped Chibok schoolgirls alive. In the video, militants say several girls have already died and they are demanding a prisoner swap for the rest. For VOA, Chika Odua has more from Abuja.
The new video, posted on YouTube early Sunday, shows a masked man wearing military camouflage. He is standing in front of about 50 young women wearing hijabs. In the video, the man speaks in Hausa language, saying, I want to inform the Nigerian government to release the people that they are holding in Abuja, Lagos, and Maiduguri. It is a demand that Boko Haram has made before. And now, activists say, for the sake of the Chibok girls, it is time for the Nigerian government to negotiate.
It's a blackmail, but the fact that they are still alive means that we should open a channel of negotiation with them. They just want their guys who are arrested. If we get the girls out of the way, maybe government can go all out after them. We are not opposed to negotiation, honestly, because we've seen negotiations all over the world.
Olatunji Olamriwaju is one of the leaders in the Bring Back Our Girls group, which started in the Nigerian capital of Abuja before spreading around the world via social media. The Abuja group is still the largest, and they have been steadily campaigning for the girls' release for the past 2 years. In the video, the young women look weary. The man holds up a microphone to one of the young women to ask where she's from. VOA spoke to the girl's mother, Esther Yakubu, who through tears said yes. This is her daughter, Dorcas. Though in the video, the girl answers another name given to her by her captors. Dorcas was 15 years old in April 2014 when she was taken with nearly 300 other girls from the secondary school in the town of Chibok in northeastern Nigeria. In the video, Dorcas echoes Boko Haram's demand to release its members in exchange for her freedom and that of her fellow abductees. For the parents of the missing Chibok girls, this video brings mixed emotions of sadness and relief that some of the girls are still alive. But the video ends with graphic images of bloody corpses. The man says these bodies are Chibok girls who were killed by Nigerian airstrikes. Nigerian human rights lawyer Emmanuel Ogebe is based in Washington, where he has been lobbying U.S. lawmakers to not forget the Chibok girls.
The bigger question is, Boko Haram has again showed a proof of life video. Why isn't the government negotiating? I think that the group that can show the proof of life video is the group that should be talked to. That's what proof of life videos are supposed to be.
Nigerian presidential spokesman Femi Adesina confirmed to VOA Sunday the government has seen the video and has reached out to Boko Haram, but is being cautious. President Muhammadu Buhari has previously said he is open to talking to Boko Haram through a credible Boko Haram leader. Boko Haram is in the middle of a leadership crisis, which erupted in public last week after the Islamic State announced Abu Musab al-Barnawi, the new leader, to replace Abubakar Shekau. In the past few days, the two men have posted strong statements condemning each other. How this power struggle affects the possibility of negotiations may be just one of many challenges to bringing the Chibok girls home.
Chika Odua for VOA News, Abuja.
Volunteers are cleaning up debris from overnight violence in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, after the fatal shooting of a man by police on Saturday that triggered clashes between residents and law enforcement. Local media reports fires were started in at least four businesses overnight, following a standoff between police and what was described as an angry crowd. Police say the man shot and killed earlier in the day was armed with a semi-automatic handgun and had fled from officers following a traffic stop. Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett.
Police spotted a suspicious vehicle and they stopped the vehicle. As they stopped the vehicle, two individuals fled from the vehicle. One started heading west, a second one started heading east. A Milwaukee police officer with 6 years' experience started chasing the individual who was running to the east. He ordered that individual to drop his gun. The individual did not drop his gun, held the gun, or I shouldn't say, I don't know that for a fact, but had the gun with him, and the officer fired several times. The individual was hit in the chest and hit in the arm. He was hit by two bullets, one in the chest, one in the arm. That individual, it's a 23-year-old man, has died.
Police said three people were arrested during the overnight violence. Photos posted on social media from the scene show windows of police cars smashed, described by Mayor Barrett.
Two police vehicles also had their windows broken out. There was an individual, a police command staff in one of those individuals. He was not injured. There was, however, a police officer who was injured when a windshield was broken, presumably in the second car. I don't know that for sure. That officer is now in the hospital. I believe that officer has a head injury. I don't know how serious that injury is. As you all saw, the crowd then went over to the gas station and set the gas station afire. I don't know how many individuals were involved in that. Of course, that's going to be part of the investigation as well.
Officer-involved shootings and deaths are under intense scrutiny throughout the United States. The street clashes mirrored a similar reaction from residents in Baltimore, Maryland last year following the arrest and death of teenager Freddie Gray. A fully grown Indian elephant that washed up in a swamp in Bangladesh after being caught in raging floodwaters has become a bit of a jumbo problem for wildlife officials on both sides of the border. Floodwaters carried the male elephant thousands of kilometers from upstream India before he became trapped in a swamp in Bangladesh's Jamalpur district some 3 weeks ago. Tapan Kumar Day, a retired forest conservator who was overseeing the rescue efforts, says wildlife workers tranquilized the elephant Sunday to bring him closer to a highway to truck it to a safari park outside of Dhaka, Bangladesh's capital. Indian wildlife authorities abandoned a plan to send the elephant back to India because he was not likely to be welcomed by his herd in the hilly forests of the remote northeastern state of Assam. They then agreed to let him be transferred to the park. Heavy downpours have flooded vast swaths of eastern India since monsoon rains began in June. Day said wildlife experts were experimenting with tranquilization dosages because they want to make the transfer to the truck go smoothly. The swampy area where the elephant, whose age was not clear, was found was just a few kilometers from the highway. Forest guards and wardens used similar doses of the tranquilizer and chains and iron hooks to get the elephant to start moving, Day said. Wildlife authorities plan to use at least two domesticated elephants to help lead the way. The elephant appears to be in good condition, although when forest guards found him, he was dehydrated after being stuck in that swamp for days. Indian wildlife experts had visited the scene and agreed with Bangladesh's proposal to transfer the elephant to a safari park about 50 kilometers north of Dhaka. Well, for a swimmer who said that he was done with the sport after the 2012 London Olympics, American Michael Phelps put on quite a performance at the Rio de Janeiro Olympics that left most at a loss for words. In the final swimming event at the 2016 Summer Games, the 31-year-old Phelps capped off his incomparable Olympic career with a gold medal in the men's 4x100-meter medley relay. That gave him 5 golds and 1 silver medal in Rio, 23 career gold medals in his total of 28 Olympic medals. In Rio, 19-year-old Katie Ledecky took individual gold in the 200-meter, 400-meter, and 800-meter freestyle, team gold in the 4x200-meter freestyle relay, and silver in the 4x100-meter freestyle relay. She even shattered her own world records in both the 400 and 800 meters. Overall, the United States led the nations in swim events with 33 medals, 16 of those gold. 16 nations in all won Rio swimming medals, but the host nation, Brazil, was shut out. Now, if one of the pools in the Aquatic Center in Rio's Olympic Park appeared to be green during the diving competition, it was no fault of your television. VOA's Park Brewer is in Rio and has the story.
The bigger pool at the outdoor venue, which has been staging water polo, is close to being the normal light blue, while the diving pool is green.
We, of course, investigated the causes that put us in this situation.
That's Rio Director of Venue Management Gustavo Nascimento. He said 80 liters of hydrogen peroxide were added to the water on the day of the opening ceremonies, and it created a reaction to the chlorine which neutralized the chlorine's ability to kill organics. Nascimento insisted it has not created any health concerns, and athletes have been making their dives into the green water with no apparent problems or major complaints. But 4 days of trying to correct the situation has not worked, so Nascimento said a drastic measure was needed.
We're going to grab the water from the warm-up pool, and we're going to drain the water on the competition pool, and we're going to insert this water from the warm-up pool into the competition pool.
With synchronized swimming beginning, it is critical to have clear water for both the competitors, who perform many of their moves with their heads underwater, and the judges, who have to see them. Park Brewer, VOA News, at the Rio Olympics.
And there's so much more to the Olympics than green swimming pools and all the swimming action. Athletics are getting underway. The women's marathon champion has been crowned, as well as a new winner in golf after 112 years. You'll find much about the Olympics on our website at voanews.com. Be sure to follow our Twitter stream at @VOA_IE. And while you're online, like us on Facebook at VOA Now. You're listening to International Edition. This is VOA.
The political party convention is a critical part of the American electoral process. VOA correspondents are there, reporting the latest developments.
Kane Fairbaugh, VOA News, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Jim Malone, VOA News, at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia.
Tune in to VOA's extensive, up-to-the-minute coverage of the U.S. presidential election.
Do you lead a busy life? Not always able to catch your favorite VOA radio or TV program? If you are keen to stay in touch with world news and events, give VOA podcasts a try.
VOAnews.com.
Visit our website at VOAnews.com to learn how you can become a subscriber to VOA podcasts and keep your life up to date.
VOA News, your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA's International Edition. Country artists commonly use their celebrity to make a difference in the lives of others. Recently in Nashville, the organization Musicians on Call honored Lady Antebellum with the 2016 Music Heals Award. Nikki Strong of VOA Music tells International Edition's Sarah Williams how this popular country music trio has been instrumental in helping countless patients in hospital facilities.
So, Nikki, what is Musicians on Call?
Musicians on Call is a great nonprofit organization. It was founded in 1999, and it brings music to the bedsides of hospital patients all over the country. And Pete Griffin, who's the president of the organization, said that, you know, whenever they've needed help, Lady Antebellum is the first one to raise their hands. And so over the past 6 years, Lady Antebellum has supported them in fundraisers and performances, as well as hospital visits.
Well, this cause also really hits home for Lady Antebellum.
It does. Hillary Scott's late grandfather was in the hospital battling leukemia 5 years ago, and she says she really saw and experienced how music helped both him and her during treatment, especially when it came to getting through really difficult times.
Many other country artists support Musicians on Call as well.
Yes. Lindsay L. is a major volunteer for the organization as well. Hunter Hayes, Eric Pasley. But anyone can actually support the organization in a variety of ways. They can go to musiciansoncall.org.
Well, congratulations to Lady Antebellum for the 2016 Music Heals Award. You can hear Lady Antebellum's music on Country Hits with Nikki Strong on VOA 1. You can also send your comments, requests, and questions to Nikki at VOA Music on Facebook and VOA_music on Twitter. Thanks very much, Nikki.
Anytime.
This world keeps spinning faster into a new disaster. So I run to you. I run to you, baby. When it all starts coming.
You've been listening to International Edition, and of course, there's so much more than we can fit into our program. That's why we have VOAnews.com. Stop by when you're online. Like us on Facebook at VOA Now, and follow us on Twitter at VOA_IE. Our director is Tracy Carter, engineer Daryl Smith. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Last October, Vietnam committed to adopting the UNAIDS ambitious 90-90-90 goals, making it the first country in Asia to do so. Under the 90-90-90 goals, the Vietnamese government has set a target wherein 90% of its people living with HIV must know their HIV status. 90% of people who know their HIV-positive status must be on treatment. And 90% of people on treatment must achieve suppressed viral loads by the year 2020. If Vietnam can reach this ambitious goal, it will be well on the way toward eliminating the disease entirely. The first cases of HIV/AIDS were found in Vietnam in 1990. By 1992, some 3,000 people were known to be living with the virus. And although the spread of the disease has slowed over the past few years, today around 260,000 Vietnamese are known to be living with the HIV virus. The United States government began to support HIV/AIDS treatment programs in Vietnam in the early 1990s, not long after the disease was found among the population there. These programs received a significant boost in 2004, shortly after the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR, was initiated in 2004. Today, the United States is ready to help Vietnam reach the UNAIDS 90-90-90 target. In late July, the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, announced a new program, the Sustainable HIV Response from Technical Assistance Project, which aims to strengthen Vietnam's capacity to lead the national HIV and AIDS response. The 5-year, $26 million project will be implemented by the U.S.-based nonprofit human development organization FHI360. The project will scale up services along the entire HIV care continuum, from diagnosis to successful treatment in high HIV burden provinces, to achieve 90-90-90 HIV case finding, care, and treatment targets, said USAID Vietnam Mission Director Michael Green. It will also provide demand-driven technical assistance at the national, provincial, and local levels to build sustainable HIV/AIDS services and systems. This project is part of our continuing effort toward achieving the ambitious PEPFAR and UNAIDS 90-90-90 targets, and beyond that, the ultimate goal of an AIDS-free world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.